Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, 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 good evening and welcome to the Radio Info Show live from the State of Wing, USA, this March 15th, 2021. Jay here from the Sunshine State. Let's welcome back my co-host and executive producer, Pepe Farms. Welcome back, my friend.
Hello, Jay, and a happy Ides of March / happy Rodney King Day to you, too. 30 years on, and normies are still wondering why we can't all get along while the rest of us understood since Julius Caesar.
And happy one-year anniversary to not being able to find toilet paper anywhere. How was your week, Pepe?
Oh, frustrating, Jay. I risk aneurysm anytime I look at the popular press, but that is largely a purposeful tactic, the great cabal, or as they are now anointed, # blue and on. So it's going, I guess. In positive news, finally taken my journal back up. The threshold disease is strong with me, though. If I don't write something down before I go through a door, it's all over.
Is # blue and on a real
thing? Yes, it's a real thing, and we know it's a real thing because it was immediately deleted by the Urban Dictionary, but it's since been reinstated.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to keep on what's fitting us today. You know that.
Oh, yes.
So, Pepe, let's get to the meat and laugh my ass off, news. Portland's Mayor Wheeler seeks funding for police months after the city council defunded the police bureau. The uber-liberal mayor of Portland is seeking $2 million in emergency funding for more police on the streets to prevent more people dying in shootings following a dramatic spike in shootings and homicides in the city. The Portland City Council cut $15 million from the Portland police budget and abolished a group of officers called the Gun Violence Reduction Team last June. But after the city's 20th homicide this year, Mayor Ted Wheeler decided enough is enough. The rising gun violence affects mainly young black and brown people, go figure. The whatever they call it, reported. The one-time funding will allow more police to patrol on city streets. The mayor made an announcement alongside religious and community leaders who urged city officials to take immediate action to prevent more people from dying in shootings, particularly young black and brown people who have been disproportionately affected by the violence. The interfaith group called for bringing back a dedicated uniformed police patrol team that would, quote, act on criminal intelligence, unquote, to try to intercept and seize guns, work to prevent shootings, retaliatory violence in the city. The group also would respond to shootings, do follow-up investigation, and engage with people who are at risk of gun violence, according to the group's letter submitted to the mayor and the city commissioners. The interfaith group, I can't believe this, also seeks 5 more detectives to investigate gun violence, more money for the recently formed 6-officer on-call team that responds to shootings around the clock, and a new independent committee to gather data on the officers' stops and arrests and the effectiveness of their work. Now, you know, Pepe, if I were a cop there, well, I wouldn't be. I would be flying the big bird to all of them.
Well, I know, right? And the zoomorphism just jumps out at you here. I mean, nowhere in this article or in any of the associated articles do they talk about people committing violence. It's all gun violence, as if it's the gun that's actually committing the crime. But you and I both know what's going on here. Same with killing all the old people in Kumho's New York. Where are gypsy cops gonna go? I mean, they need a home too, right, Jay?
Well, I guess everybody needs a home, especially the 100,000 people that are at the fucking border. Wanted to get the old blood pressure up. Go ahead.
But they're those cops that get fired for misconduct in one jurisdiction, so they move to another. So this is all cost savings. The Minneapolis government gets to say, oh, we're cutting police funding, but now we have to buy them back. And as you pointed out, good cops aren't going to go there. So the only cops that are going to go there are the gypsy cops. I mean, who else would go to a demon crap hellhole?
Well, yeah, exactly. Good point, my friend. Okay, Pepe, one to get the old blood pressure up. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
New gay dad Jesse Tyler Ferguson. He is best known for portraying Mitchell Pritchett on the sitcom Modern Family. Is playing Britney Spears and reading books on drag queens to his new baby. But he will love him anyways if he comes out straight, he said on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Now, hey, this is some sick, twisted shit right here. You don't teach someone to be gay, and I will argue that point until the drag queens come home.
Yeah, well, you won't get any argument from me, but new gay, is that like hashtag super straight? Oh, okay. He's a new dad that happens to be gay. Wait a second. Let me bring out my biology notebook here. Okay, well, at least this answers a question from last week about what the demand for trafficked children is. Adoptions. It should sound wholesome, but I know somehow it sounds like a plot from a CSI episode. But in the words of Michael Pritchett, I can't go to jail. I'm a gay prosecutor. There's no prison gangs for that.
God, you kill me. Okay, let's hit an audio soundbite 3, please.
All right, here we go.
One other item I just wanted to flag for you about something the First Lady is up to. Let me see if I can find that, or I will circle back to it a little bit later. With that, I'm happy to hear your question. Zeke, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, Pepe. Circle back, Pisaki. Pepe, she is so fucking lost. If you actually watch any of these pressers, you will know she has to read everything. God, I miss Kaylee.
I know, right? I mean, it wasn't circle back, Pisaki, one of the subjects of one of the more famous Biden sniff videos? And I'm sure she's no stranger to the weird goings-on in the circles of power. Once you have money and power, there's very few savory things left for the rich and powerful to occupy their time with. So why would they have anyone else representing them?
Yeah, but now I know you like me and many other, you know, of our friends that do shows or podcasts. We have to watch this so we can, like, say, what the fuck?
I know, right? But I'll just have to circle back to you on that one.
Oh, this is just too much fun. Let's do some more. Audio sound about 5, please.
Hitting it.
The first establishes the White House Gender Policy Council to ensure that the Biden administration advances gender equity and equal rights and opportunity for women and girls. The second directs the Department of Education to review all of its existing regulations, orders, guidance, and policies for consistency with the administration's policy to guarantee education free from sexual violence.
Gender Policy Council.
First, oh, and equity, their favorite word.
Yeah, they love that word, don't they? First, it's confused, Jen. Just look in your pants. What the fuck would you need a council for? Second, you are the motherfuckers that want trans boys in women's sports. Odd, Pepe. I don't see any trans girls overtaking boys' sports.
I know, right. Is that going to be the new Amazon takeover? We're going to have trans Amazon warriors, you know, overrunning all of women's sports? I don't know where it's going. But goddamn you, Jay. I had to search this, and did you know that transvestite midget female beach volleyball is the thing? Or if it's not, it now will be, because causality is a bitch. Be careful what you ask for, Jay.
You asshole. Okay. All right. In total bullshit news, Pepe, acting CBD commissioner Troy Miller said on a call to reporters the ad man is, quote, moving as fast as we can, unquote, to build the immigration system, but warn, quote, this is going to take some time, unquote. You stupid ass, it wasn't broke until you morons took office. He goes on to say, quote, the border is not open. Do not believe human smugglers who tell you otherwise, unquote. Pepe, first, they ended migrant protection protocols, which, by the way, camp migrants south of the border while waiting for hearings. They also narrowed ICE and Customs Enforcement priorities for arrests and deportations.
I know, right? I've heard immigration officers are calling themselves Biden's Uber. But I've got some massive headlines to go with this story after the break, Jay, that will blow your mind. But as you pointed out last week, I think we both agree that somebody is paying for those let us in Biden shirts, fucking blue and on. Multiple nominally unconnected interests that value destroying the USA using multiple attack vectors over the proclaimed public good. Our monkey brains force us to identify the aggregate threat as an anthropomorphized entity, but for all intents and purposes, it might as well be the Illuminati. Any name you wish to attribute to the self-identified non-centralized globalist movement is as valid as any other. I struggle with calling unfettered migration across the border a, quote, broken system, though. It's operating exactly as the demon craps want it to. The question is always, is why is that advantageous to them? Why does hashtag blue and on want so many unaccompanied children?
And what's your thought on that? Why do they?
We just had a story where, quote unquote, gay dads are regaling their child. They got it from somewhere. You know, they didn't do it, you know, biologically. They got it through perhaps child trafficking. I'm not accusing them of anything, mind you. But we know what goes on in behind closed doors. Again, we're talking about the segment of the population, the one percenters that already have power and money. What else is there for them to desire? The things that they're not allowed to have.
Yeah, and that's another discussion, is why don't the 99% just crush the 1%? You know, I don't understand why people don't stand up and fight against this.
Oh, well, that's a whole deep discussion that I think we'll get into a little bit in the second part, but it has a lot to do with how we evolved. When you get right down to it, we're chemical engines, we're an evolved animal species, and one of our primary instincts is, if we sense danger, run away. If it's just a shadow in a bush, remember,
and
we're evolved from the ones that ran away.
And that's exactly why I tease that, my friend. All right, Pepe, how about some what-the-fuck news? A trans girl from Brazil is selling hormone drugs online occasionally, delivered in packaging that says, quote, keep out of reach of parents, unquote. She says, I had a lot of problems with my therapy and saw a lot of other trans girls had the same problem with accessing high-quality HRT, hormone replacement therapy. Specifically because of the high price in most countries. I can't even say this. Okinawa Pharmaceuticals CEO Lillian wrote, quote, so I decided to make accessible hormones to help those that fight against dysphoria in their everyday lives, unquote. Photos posted on Twitter reportedly show hormone drug package in a box that says, in bold lettering, keep out of reach of parents, unquote, and, quote, don't look at my giant girl, and I'm going to say it, girl dick. First, I don't think I would trust anything, let alone drugs from Brazil.
Yeah, I know, right? There's a lot to break down there, but I must applaud you on your Okinawa pronunciation there. Sounds like something. Sounds like a title of one of those 1950s ukulele songs from Hawaii, you know? No, I have visions of transgender ukulele girls. Thanks again, Jay.
I was like, what the fuck is that word? But anyway.
Well, the news that this exists in our world is as disappointing as opening your planter's can of mixed nuts and finally only Brazil nuts. Seems like when that happens, 60% of the can is Brazil nuts and the other 40% committed suicide before I even opened it.
I swear to God, did you rehearse this shit?
Of course.
Oh, Lord God, help us all. Okay. All right, let me get back on track here. Don Limon, a gift that keeps on giving. Pepe, Don Limon on The View. Don Limon, resident theologian at CNN declares God is not about judging people. I kind of think that's what he does. But anyway, he goes on to say, I think that the Catholic Church and many other churches really need to reexamine themselves and their teachings because that is not what God is about, unquote. He continues, quote, listen, I respect people's right to believe in whatever they want to believe in their God. But if you believe in something that hurts another person, that does not give someone the same rights or freedoms, not necessarily under the Constitution, because this is under God, I think that's wrong, unquote. Pepe, I am so happy he has a direct line to God.
Well, I'm sure he got it through the black hole that brought down MH370. But as art imitates life or vice versa, I can only remind everyone that the great Michael Palin once spoke these words, perhaps the inspiration for Don Lemon's lament. Quote, let us praise God, O Lord, who you are so big, so absolutely huge. Gosh, we're all really impressed down here, I can tell you. Forgive us, O Lord, this dreadful toadying and barefaced flattery. But you are so strong and, well, just so super. Fantastic. Amen. But, you know, what do you expect from a lemon other than an exceptional Red Dwarf episode?
So, Pepe, let's just open a little discussion here, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The media, or the lamestream media, whatever you want to fucking call them, they seem to change lately.
Well, everything is perspective, right? So I wouldn't say that media has changed. Perhaps our perspective of media has changed in recent times, but I think what you could generally label as mainstream media has been as bad as it is now throughout all of human history. I mean, there's classic quotes from the founding fathers and famous authors about the more you read a newspaper, the less you know, right?
Let me redirect this. Now, you remember prior to January 20 and the questions that got shot at Trump. Well, Biden hasn't taken an individual, you know, press conference in, what is it now, 40 days or whatever, wherever the hell he's at.
Oh, yeah.
But you see the difference. Other than, I'll tell you what, Peter Ducey, and I don't watch Fox anymore. I haven't watched it since the election. But Peter Ducey is really firing in on him.
Yeah, he's the guy that told Not a Laughing Matter the other day. Is that guy?
Yeah.
Right. So, but again, yeah. I have to say that that's not really a difference. The press during Trump always softballed the Democrats. The only difference now is that the Democrat is behind the podium.
Yeah, and that leads me to has he become the Jim Acosta on the right?
What, the anti-Acosta? Apparently,
yeah.
I guess. Fox knows that they, well, again, it's all about perspective. And absolutely all of the media that we absorb is 100% contrived. So, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, you know, Alex Jones is controlled opposition. But certainly all of the networks are. To think that Fox News has ever been, you know, anti-globalist agenda is a pipe dream.
Well, my thoughts on Fox News, when they really went to shit, is when Paul Ryan joined the board of directors.
Well, originally it was run by the one guy, and then the brothers took over.
Murdoch.
And the brothers have, and the Koch brothers have always been, you know, highly leftist. And I mean, but even before, the difference between, for example, listening to Rush Limbaugh on a Fox radio station, and then during the commercial breaks, listening to the Fox News, you know, at the top of the hour or whatever, Rush Limbaugh could literally be telling you the exact facts from the same articles, and then Fox News will come on and open up with an article title that is completely opposite of what you now know to be the truth, because Rush Limbaugh on the same Fox channel just told you that, right? So there was always this disconnect between, call it red-pilled reality, and what Fox News was presenting, and that's been going on for decades.
You know, we've talked about this before. I was a Democrat for my entire life until Trump came down the elevator. Mainly because I wasn't going to vote for the other person, like Mitt Romney or whatever. But I did a Rip Van Winkle, and the Democratic Party went to fucking shit sometime. I tell you what got me to switch to Republican, or actually independent, was Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, which, by the way, I can't stand and listen to Hannity to this day now. But these people that just sit on one network, you're not going to get the truth anymore. You're not going to find out what's going on. You're just going to be brainwashed.
But there's no advantage for the ruling power, you know, in any situation to foment, right? I mean, that's antithetical to their existence.
Well, and I think I honestly think that is what has been one of the biggest problems in this country. Not only in this country, it happens in Canada, the UK. You know, the UK has media controlled or state media controlled news, and as far as I know, Canada is the same way. You know more about Canada than I do.
Well, you're suggesting we don't?
Well, we do now.
I postulate that postulate, is that the right word, or is that a blemish on your skin? I don't know. But I suspect that what we think of as free and open news reporting, and what we have always thought of as free and open voting, and what we have always thought of as self-rule, has always been a smokescreen, to one degree or the other. But especially when it comes to what is in quote unquote the press, right? Because when it comes right down to it, what is the press? Literally, it's when human beings figured out they could make a machine to make multiple copies of a piece of paper, right? It's nothing more than that. I mean, we're elevating quote unquote journalists to the level of deities when they're nothing more than a fax machine.
That brings me to my next thought is, do you think we will ever have free and open elections again?
Again, I am strongly of the impression at this point that we never have. So what do you mean again? I mean, the Democrats have openly stated to our face that the reason why we lost is because we don't know how to cheat well enough.
Well, I think when I was a young 18-year-old, I think, and I could be wrong, that it was. You know, I remember Reagan being elected. I don't know.
But look at the parallels. Reagan was a movie star that had early onset dementia. So who was really running things then?
Well, obviously some smarter people than are now.
Well, that was the entire complaint against Trump. Was he wasn't letting the shadow guys in the background run things. That was their entire complaint.
Well, you know. Okay. All right, guys, that brings us to our break. Grab you some Georgia sweet tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Hitting it.
into the night and for the city lights, but my heart is still running. I can see your face again. I can see my own friend in my sweet imagination. I'm walking to the street and for the city beat, but my heart is still racing. The dance floor isn't there no more, but my body's still moving. Tell me, do you know where I'm waiting to go when the world is so confusing? Ooh, I wanna go there. Sensations fill the air in my sweet recollection. Ooh, I see a footstep sign where we made up our minds to be more than just good friends. The beautiful.
Seen this latest story from the Worthy Politics and another one from Breaking 911. First up, Biden's border crisis is out of control. South Texas migrant facility is now at 729% of its legal capacity. This story, brought to us by Worthy Politics, as reported by CBS News, is all about how, as you pointed out earlier, there's this sudden crisis of floods of migrants coming over the border. I really don't know what to say about this one, Jay. We knew it would happen, and why, and Biden blames Trump. What do you think? Did you know that Beijing Biden is going to send all these kids to the non-existent FEMA camps? At least the kids will have gay frogs to play with.
I'll tell you, you know, what got me was the Biden please let us in shit. I was like, who paid for this? Well, I kind of think we know who paid for it. It's just by them denying there's a crisis. Wasn't, what do they call it now, Pepe, a challenge?
I'm sure they're coming up with weasel words out their ass.
Yeah, a challenge is overcoming something you can beat. What was it last month, Pepe? 100,000?
Yeah, there were some ridiculous numbers, like they were expecting 100,000 over the next 3 months, and they already had 40,000. It was some ridiculous. You know, the numbers are just off the charts, and it's almost as if people were standing by the gates ready to open them, you know, when Biden was anointed.
Yeah, it's just we got 3 more years of this, folks. So you better buckle in.
Well, Biden isn't going to make it 4 years. I mean,
I don't think so either.
That's a foregone conclusion. And they're not going to let Kamala have it. So the question is going to be, who's it going to be, right? I mean, are they just going to bring over somebody from China and get it over with, or what?
Yeah. My money is on that one, my friend. I guarantee it. But, you know, it's going to get so much worse. We're only, 2 months in? Here in Pensacola, fucking gas prices are up 80 cents a gallon. yet Biden supporters are all over Facebook saying, well, the president doesn't control gas prices. No, but the fucking policy does.
Yes, indeed. Or at least the speculation of the OPEC countries, that's for sure. And that all is based on who the president and the government is in the United States.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Jay, are you ready for some Pepe deep shit?
Always.
It's big think time, Jay. Because as you know, and as you know, we've been told, and as many people believe, we're currently experiencing the, quote, worst pandemic in human history. And this bullshit is really pissing me off. We can only fend off this globalist authoritarianism propaganda cloaked in false compassion the way it has always been defeated, with humor and logic. So as my contribution, the best I can hope to do is channel James Burke and bust out some connections. Now, there's no way I can get all the way from the beginning to the end, but if I started at the beginning and the Big Bang will have a cameo, I don't think we could fit it in to just one show. So let's all don our Radio Infidel brand Alex Jones replica tinfoil hats and try to answer, how does the Big Bang connect directly to mask wearing via police state? In the beginning, cause and effect, the creation of life, the difference between male and female. These very concepts are what the great cabal has weaponized. The same forces mandating triple masking to protect grandma also in the same breath claim a virus reproduces. Then with a straight face claim that a human fetus is not alive until, what are we up to now, Jay, the 42nd trimester? You know, way after birth. How can this be? How can humans be so confused in the 21st century? Well, it's no wonder, considering how confused we used to be. Viruses, bacteria, disease itself, these are new concepts. People by nature lack perspective. But just two grandfathers ago, we thought disease was caused by bad smells. It wasn't until the 40s, your father's time, that we could even detect the particles we now know as viruses. These connected concepts manifested over the last year as lockdowns and face coverings, concepts born in revolution and easily perverted by individuals acting in their own self-interest. The wise have always advocating knowing yourself to know the universe, and the nature of that ideal has never been more relevant. All of humanity is being threatened with this viral apocalypse. The ultimate shadow in a bush. Our brains are hardwired to run away from that shadow in the bush. Our propagation and evolution as a species hinges on our ability to recognize a potential threat, and nature is unforgiving. I was reminded of this in a recent conversation about the morality of spaying or neutering a house cat. In nature, there is no mercy, no consideration, and no moderation. It's eat and procreate until your environment collapses. To our credit as humans, we now count environmental concerns as a shadowy bush. But the implication is clear. Programmed to respond to specific types of propaganda, and conscious effort is required to see through it. It's like not breathing on purpose. We are evolved from the ones that ran away. You can see this effect in action in yourself anytime you read a news article. The effect is best illustrated by Michael Crichton, the author of Jurassic Park, in a quote about his friend, the physicist Murray Gell-Mann. That's Gell-Mann, in fact, hyphenated for anyone that wants to look it up. Of historical interest, Murray is the dude that discovered and named the subatomic particle. Murray Gell-Mann and Crichton exposed, quote, the news as the propaganda it is with Crichton's Gell-Mann amnesia effect theory. So I'll just quote Crichton. Briefly stated, the Gell-Mann amnesia effect is as follows. You open the newspaper to an article on some subject you know well. In Murray's case, physics, in mine, show business. You read the article and you see the journalist has absolutely no understanding of either the facts or the issues. Often the article is so wrong, it actually presents the story backwards, reversing cause and effect. I call these the, quote, wet streets cause rain stories. The paper is full of them. In any case, you read with exasperation or amusement the multiple errors in a particular story, and then you turn the page. And on that page is a story of national or international affairs. And you read it as if the rest of the newspaper was somehow more accurate, Palestine, than the baloney you just read about what you knew about. You turn the page and you forget what you know. Now apply this to the coronavirus. Common sense ain't so common, but even the dimmest among us can understand the implications that everything the press, the CDC, any government official is guaranteed to be at least wrong in substance, if not explicitly opposite of reality. So how have we arrived at this, quote, worst pandemic in human history? Well, since the beginning, proof the entire thing is a sham has been plain as day. I don't know if you remember the Diamond Princess cruise ship quarantine, the ship that was, air quote, infected. I ran the numbers when the passengers were released a year ago, and you know what? The death rate was right in line with the world average death rate for that population, without even adjusting for the passengers' demographics. I mean, let's be real. If you put 1,000 old people on a boat for months, a few of them are not going to make it off the boat in pristine condition. We have even more information now, and there is zero correlation between proximity and infection. People that were restricted to the same room for months didn't transmit the, quote, infection between them. Now, what does this tell us, Jay? Well, I don't know how versed in epidemiology you are, but one thing you do know is that there's lots of talk about anal swab testing for COVID. Well, guess what? We've known for hundreds of years that most disease vectors in humans are scat-related. What could possibly explain the lack of transmission in cases of close proximity with the elderly on a cruise ship versus Kumu's death camps? In a word, scat. Nursing homes are notorious for large amounts of scat. Remember when the CDC said it's okay to have sex, but you have to wear a mask? Guess what? Can't eat ass with a mask on, can you? So the japes, jackanapes, and jibes have an advantage. Our inherent runaway instinct forces zoomorphism. The gun kills is an obvious one, but the virus reproduces not so much. Here our connections begin. Revolution was spreading like wildfire across the world after the American Revolution. Revolution not only in government, but in all areas of the status quo, including the invention of or evolvement of epidemiology, the study of cause and effect of diseases. Cholera had been imported to the UK from India, and there was no native defense. God did it, quote unquote, was no longer a sufficient answer, because revolution against dynasty and the new science of anatomy, botany, and optics converged to reveal the nature of human physiology, cell structure, and biological infection. Yet it still took a statistician to break the disease code and reveal the truth. He discovered it was contaminated drinking water, calling the cholera outbreak, a feat made possible by the new demographic statistics available because they were required and compiled by the new order's actuarial bureaucrats. Statistics were king, but the root cause of disease was still thought to be a bad smell. Until one specific well was found to be killing people. Investigation of that well found it was contaminated by leakage from the local cesspit. Additional deaths and further statistical analysis of drinking water supply companies for people that didn't have wells confirmed it wasn't smell that killed people, but rather something actually in the water. The one company that followed the new restrictions on drawing drinking water from the open sewer that was the Thames was the only company who had any customers left alive in a street-to-street direct comparison. The late 1800s, your great-grandfather's time, very recent history. Even though the vector, the water, had been established as the vehicle of infection, the actual agent had yet to be identified. Optics and microscope technology was advancing rapidly and converged with a very focused gent, a.k.a. autistic upper-class wanker, who first observed the existence and behavior of the anthrax bug, a new world of small living organisms that could cause death and disease
a threat that makes perfect sense to our shadowy bush brains. Explain all of the big killers. The carnage of the Neapolitan Wars and the subsequent dust-ups were instrumental in the advancement of medical care, but it was also bred directly from the soulless actuarial bureaucrats that were drafted to save lives in the bloodiest carnage man could create. So their compassion has always been second to regimen. In concert with the advent of the doctor surgeon, the collective knowledge of chemistry, and in fact the true nature of the fabric of reality itself began to be revealed. Better microscopes allowed legions of autistic intelligentsia to finally observe smaller and smaller disease-causing bacteria, but as late as 1940, there was still no quote-unquote visible evidence of the apparently infectious viral diseases. Only with the advent of the scanning electron microscope could the largest of this, quote, new class of biological agent be observed. Still today, the best test for a virus is filtration. But as you know, a filter only segregates by size. In concert with epidemiology and clinical medicine, bred from the mass death of industrial warfare, the life sciences had also identified biological agents, agents indistinguishable from virus particles, referred to as exomes. This is the 40s, your father's time. This converged the worlds of viral and bacterial epidemiology, chemistry, quantum physics, and all of this began to reveal the true nature of what we observe as viruses. But unlike bacterial epidemiology, viral epidemiology doesn't obey the rules used to identify infectious agents. A bacteria has a life of its own, and perhaps in the grand scheme of things can be excused for killing the odd human here or there. It doesn't know any better, and by some argument, has as much right to life as any other living thing. It doesn't even follow this basic rule. A virus is fundamentally a poison, a biological toxin. The connection between the very small and the very large becomes apparent here because we are all very familiar with animals or plants that create and deliver complex biological agents as a tool for predation or protection. On the macro scale, a snake produces venom in a sac. On a micro scale, a bacterium produces toxins it can deliver to competing organisms with an organelle or a vesicle. Our cells are believed to be the evolutionary endgame and endosymbiosis of a collection of simpler cells. Our bodies as a whole are swarms of these more complex cells living symbiotically with a swarm of friendly bacteria that in fact outnumber us. Our entire existence relies on the interaction between all of these separate living entities. So it's even theoretically possible that all human coronaviruses are part of a communication system between our gut flora and the rest of the swarm that is us, a human creature. But let's be clear, human coronaviruses are a completely different class of virus when compared to those viruses that, say, make all of your blood fall out. But the mechanics of this attack vector also produce biological agents required for communication and respiration of all nucleic cellular life. So what is called a virus is a particle that's released by a cell, but we know that in organisms, cells have to release these kinds of particles to enable the organism to continue to live. At this point, it becomes a chicken and egg problem with particles that are behaving on the subatomic level in the quantum realm. So maybe not chicken versus egg, or perhaps square versus rectangle. Today, the fundamental question of viral origin, or even viruses as a disease vector, is still in doubt. Only healthy living cells can create, quote, viruses, and the only distinction between normal cell function and a virus is the associated disease. So which came first? The chicken, the egg? The virus, the disease, the virus? It's wet streets cause rain all over again. So not only are viruses not a parasite, they are fundamental to the biomechanics of life on Earth. The organisms on Earth create these particles, and by mass, it is estimated that viruses comprise the second largest biomass on Earth after phytoplankton, the all-time reigning champion. Why is that? Well, that brings us to the origin of life, and of course, that's a hot topic. life and death are the ultimate tiger in the bushes. To grasp the entirety is difficult because our perception is limited by the universe we are trying to observe. But current thought, simply stated, shows that under the right geological conditions, the interaction between common elements and the complex molecular structure on the surface of the interface of mineral strata is enough to produce simple amino acids. This has been proven in repeatable laboratory tests. These interactions are the epitome of quantum mechanics, the proverbial Schrodinger's cat. So at the end, we end up with two diametric human behaviors wrought by a visceral biological reaction to unknown perceived threats. Any threat of pandemic is easy meat. And as voiced by Rahm Emanuel, you never let a serious crisis go to waste. Next week, Jay will try and connect how quantum mechanics, evolution, the Big Bang, and the Communist Revolution all culminated in our forced mask-wearing ritual, or as Oscar Wilde put it, give a man a mask, and he'll show you his true face. Back to you, Jay.
A great report, buddy. But hey, I got to ask you, did you really say you can't eat ass with a mask on?
I did. That was the entire point of that directive. No, seriously.
Oh,
it's been known for hundreds of years that especially human respiratory viruses are not transmitted through the air. They're transmitted through fecal contamination. So that's why you can put two old people, one of which has quote unquote COVID and the other one that doesn't, in a nice clean boat room and leave them there for months and they won't transmit it. But you walk into Home Depot behind the guy that's been scratching his ass crack, that's when you get it. And you know why masks make it worse? Because when you wear a mask, you touch your face more. So you touch that thing in Walmart, and then you touch your face to adjust your mask, and bang.
I just have to wait a minute. Oh, good Lord, Pepe. You know, I tell the younger people at work, back in my day, being called a butt licker was an insult. But look at you butt lickers today.
I know. Apparently now it's something to strive for.
Well, oh, good Lord, you're killing me. Okay. All right. No, that was great.
So,
you're going to do part two.
So I'm part two of five. We'll see how it goes. But I'm sorry I burned out your tinfoil hat. We'll have to send you a new one.
Yeah, UPS, two-day delivery, please.
There you go.
Good Lord. Anyway, so maybe your Canadian friend will be on next week?
I'm going to try and talk him into it. At the very least, we're going to try and record a little piece about a theory that he's working on that the media personalities of Canada, which include the likes of Crowder and Tom McDonald that we played some music from the other day, are more patriotic than even American media personalities were in the 80s. So
that might be an interesting
discussion to have.
I think that would be really fun. Oh God. Anyway, you got me sweating, buddy. All right.
Well, there you go.
Do your close. Let's get out of here.
10-4. Well, that's it for Pepe Farms Remembers of various spellings across all social media platforms that haven't banned frogs yet. And to end on another Ides of March reference with a question. Interesting about Julius Caesar's birth. Do you know that, Jay?
No, I don't.
Well, the uninteresting and incorrect answer, of course, is that he was born by cesarean section. Cesarean in this context being a corruption of the word meaning to cut. Any mother that gave birth to a baby via cesarean section died back in those days immediately, and we know that Caesar's mother lived to a long ripe age, so we know he was never born via cesarean section. So, in fact, there was nothing of particular interest in recorded history about Caesar's birth, but of greater worth is a historical anecdote by Stephen Wright, who observed, "I was born by cesarean section, but you can't really tell, except that when I leave my house, I always go out by the window." So, back to you, Jay.
Good Lord. All right, guys, that brings us to the end. Thanks for joining us please join our friends at the Not Sorry Show Tuesday and Thursday live at 8 p.m. Central at DLive.tv/Not Sorry Show. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll get mad in 2 hours. We'll be back Monday at 7 p.m. Central. Pepe, get us out of here.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your son.